Well, first of all, let me express my appreciation to you for the warm gift basket and letters and so many phone calls and all the things that you offered on Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Melissa and I were thrilled by that. To be honest with you, I remember something being said about it, but I wasn't aware that it was going to happen on that day. So you took me by surprise a little bit. But I do appreciate very much, and I hope that there would be a day where we can have Pastor Appreciation Day for the congregation, because I'm thrilled to be your pastor, and that's because of who you are and all the many ways that you show your love to others and make a difference in the world. And definitely, you are the church. What a grand church we are. Gives me great pleasure to be out in the community and to say that I'm a part of Colonial Avenue Baptist Church. More often than not, I don't tell people that I'm the pastor there when I introduce the church to them. Darren thinks that's a good thing and probably that I shouldn't tell them I'm the pastor here. What I've tried to do is to get a feel in the community for what the general conversation is about our church. Are you interested? Yeah, you know, initially when I came, I did this little study, and I discovered that we were the church with the yard sale. Colonial Avenue Baptist Church, that's the church with the yard sale. But now it's changing, and you'll be glad to hear what I'm getting from others is that's the church that does a lot of missions. Isn't that cool? Isn't that neat? That they're involved in missions. And they have a yard sale to raise money for missions. There you go. And that's a cool thing. All of a sudden, the image is kind of changing a little bit. The other thing is, that's the church that's growing. And I'm like, really? Is that what they're saying? Yeah, they're growing. So apparently somebody's saying good things out there about us. And that's exciting. And it is always good to have visitors with us each and every Sunday. But I really pay attention to this kind of conversation in the community that happens about us. You do your own little survey and see what you find out. It's really easy. The first thing I did was I went to the gas station across the road, you know, just down the road here, and this way's north to me. I don't know. I don't know north, south, east, west, but I stopped by the gas station and I said, so tell me about the church down the street. What do you know about it? You know, this is the gas station. Okay? Well, sometimes on about 9 o'clock Monday through Friday, you can't get down Colonial Avenue Baptist Church because there's all these cars turning into that church. They're going to the preschool. Okay, so all I know about it is they block the traffic on Colonial Avenue. And I said, what about on Sunday? Do they block the traffic? No problem blocking the traffic. On Sunday, not that many going in and out then. But I really talk to people about what their perception is about our church. But one of the neat things about our church is the magic that happens in the lives of the people who are a part of our congregation. I like to hear the individual stories. In the springtime, we're going to have something called Stories of Faith. And it's an opportunity for us to listen to each other's stories. It was a part of my doctoral work when I was at Richmond. But it's really a powerful experience for the congregation. A lot of churches used to do revivals. You remember revivals? Anybody remember going to revival? Yeah. I think a church does better if they have their own revival within the church. Instead of asking somebody to come from the outside, why don't we do it? And we'll call it spiritual renewal. How's that for a springtime event? And we will renew our faith by hearing each other's stories. You will be amazed when we do this, to hear the stories of the people that you're sitting next to, the stories of their faith, It's incredible. There'll be laughter and there'll be tears, and we will renew ourselves. Baptists used to call it testimonies. You remember when we did testimonial time? We used to have somebody stand up. Can I have somebody testify? You remember that? Yeah. Well, it's kind of like that, except it's called stories of faith. Share your faith. Tell us your story. And so there will be various individuals from our congregation, men and women, young and old, and we'll do 5 services and listen to their stories. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you will be as well. It's the magic that happens when somebody shares about how God has changed their life. And as Melissa said, we are the church. It's us. We have to do all the things that we can do in order to enhance it. And part of it is to get to know each other better. Small groups have helped with that too. How many of you have enjoyed the small groups? You had a good time with those? Yeah. We've had more and more people coming in each week. And it's so exciting to hear the stories about their experiences, meeting each other in their homes and in a different context. And some of you are pretty good cooks. I'm finding out that you can really make some good food. So I'm kind of waiting for the invitation to come and enjoy some of that. But these are the magical moments that happen in the lives of the people who make up the congregation, and the various ministries that happen to and through individuals. I want you to use your imagination this morning. I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I want to think about poking your head inside maybe a university classroom. Remember what it was like in college or university? There's a group of students and they're gathering together, 15 students in a classroom. They're standing in front of, is a professor. She's leading a discussion on American literature. And today she's looking at a novel, let's just say Virginia Woolf. And some students are taking notes and some are daydreaming about what they're going to do over the weekend. And a few are just absolutely bored. There's one girl, though, in the class. She's a quiet kind of girl. And she's from some place, Grundy, you know, maybe Galax, or, South Boston. Yeah? And here she is at Virginia Tech. And she's been reading this novel, say, The Lighthouse. And she's not bored at all. In fact, she is really excited about what she's learning. The beauty of the writing is captivating her, and something inside of her is opening up, and she didn't even know it existed. And her copy of this book is marked, and it's torn, and it's tattered, and she sees the teacher after class and schedules time to talk more about this book, and she and the teacher hit it off, and they become friends, and they even have lunch together, and she keeps the book in her backpack for 2 years and rereads it again and again, and she graduates and thinks about getting a PhD in English. All because of one book. One teacher, one class, a magical moment of learning. Or go to Roanoke Memorial Hospital. There's a boy in a hospital room, and he's restless, and he's fidgety, and he'd much rather be out with his friends, but he's in the hospital because he's ill. He's very ill. And there's a mother sitting beside him, and she's beside herself. Not sure what's going to happen to her son. Not sure if he's going to get better. The doctor comes by each day and gives an update and answers questions. The doctor can't linger too long because the doctor's got other patients to see. And it's late at night and the little boy finally goes to sleep. Not the mother. She sits in the chair next to the bed and quietly prays. And weeps. nurse stops by, sits down beside the mom and asks if she can help, and the mother doesn't answer, and that nurse, that very busy nurse, takes the mother's hand and sits with her. Just sits there and strokes her hand and sits there until the mother falls asleep. And for the first time in days, that worried mom sleeps. That's a magical moment of compassion. One more. There's a young man who enters the sanctuary on Sunday morning, and he's looking for something in his life. He searched and searched to find what it is. Can't seem to find it anywhere. And if he were asked face to face, you know, he really couldn't quite put his finger on what it is that he's looking for, but there's something. I mean, he grew up in a church that showed religion but it shoved it down his throat and it shoveled enough guilt and shame on him that almost buried him alive, and it was the kind of church that had all the answers, and then when he went to college, he decided, you know what, I'm never going to go back to that church again. But here he is, in our sanctuary, looking for something. He's got money in the bank. He's got a good career now. He's driving a nice car. He's got good golf clubs. And what he really wants, well, it's not more success, it's significance. He wants to know that his life matters. And I'll tell you what else he wants. He wants to know that he has something to give back to the world. He wants a place to serve. I want my life to make a difference in the life of somebody else. I don't think I'm just here for me. So he listens to the music and loves the choir and likes the way Mary Shirley welcomed him when he came in the door. He liked the Sunday school class. He likes the architecture of the church. Feels like it's a wonderful place to pray. And he discovers it's a place of love and a place of grace, and it's true to the spirit of Jesus, and it's really something that begins to take root in him. It's a magical moment of faith. Is there something behind all these magical moments? I mean, really, when I think about institutions, about hospitals or universities or churches, quite often what I end up thinking about is committees and task forces and strategic planning and policies and procedures and buildings and board meetings and staff and endowments and finances and administration and marketing and publicity. And the last thing I think about is the magic that happens in those places that make a difference in lives. But I want to suggest this morning that there is a close relationship between the institution and the magical, mystical, meaningful experience in life. Whether it's a university or a hospital or a church. The institution exists in order to make a difference in the life of the person. Are you getting this? And the magic happens, but there's no magic unless the institution is healthy. A hospital, it's not healthy, there's no healing, no emergency care, no nurse stroking the hand of a mother while she sleeps. The institution is equipment and staff and administrators and buildings and parking garages and employees and benefit plans, but the institution exists only for the purpose of making the magic of healing a reality. And I think the same is true of a church. Colonial Avenue Baptist Church is a 50-year-old institution. That's exactly what we are. It's an institution, and it has institutional needs. But we exist not just as an institution. We exist to care for one another as people. And the magic happens in the lives of people when you care for and take care of the institution. The magic happens when a deacon visits one of our shut-ins, right? The magic happens when our team goes on mission trip and a child's life is changed. The magic happens. It happens in an anthem or in a prayer or even if a sermon touches you. It happens when a young couple feels free to leave their baby in our nursery as a safe place. It happens when someone confesses faith in Jesus Christ for the very first time. It happens when someone says, you know what, I feel like God's calling me to be a part of this church. It happens. It happens when you have a loss in your family and we take care of the funeral service. But more than the service, we take care of you, the grieving family. Magic happens when you learn something in Sunday school or your child goes to church camp or vacation Bible school or one of our youth events. The magic happens when your son or daughter is married in this sanctuary. The magic happens when you find friends here who are going to stand beside you through thick and thin. The magic happens in all kinds of ways. And I could go on and on. But behind it all, there's the institution. This isn't just a good church. This is a pretty good church. It's a great church. Really is. I had a pastor that I met with in a pastor's conference this past week, and he said, tell me about Colonial Avenue. And I said, they've got more opportunity and some of the best folks I've ever met. Ever been a part of. I'm so excited to be there. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. He didn't have the same story. But I do. And I believe that. The magic is happening. People's lives are being changed. Good things are happening in the life of our church. We're making a difference to the glory of God. Okay? But what I want you to know is this. If the institution isn't healthy, the magic can't happen. And there's no institution that can be healthy unless it has the financial resources and support of the people. I told my Sunday school class I'm going to talk about money today. And they groaned. We have institutional needs here. They're not ends in and of themselves, folks. They're needs that make the magic possible. And some of our institutional needs are exciting, like making sure people like Pastor Melissa and Jan and Robin and Patty and Nancy and Ann, these talented, creative people, have the right compensations. That's an institutional need. It's personal. It's exciting. It's easy to see their magic because they're doing so many good things and we're excited to support them in the ministry that they do. Making sure our preschool has what they need to have our preschool program. That's a wonderful thing. Making sure we've got materials for our small groups or adult classes. That's an exciting institutional need. Making sure we have events like our trunk or treat or Christmas Eve service or Easter cantata. That's exciting. Some of our institutional needs are not real exciting. The electric bill. I've often asked, I had a guy tell me one time, he said, I'd like to give money to the church, but I want to designate it to a particular cause that's very important to your church. And I said, that would be the electric bill. He said, the what? I said, the electric bill. It's good to have lights. He said, well, perhaps there's something else that I can designate it to. Electric bill's not exciting. It's got to be paid. I'm just waiting for that day when one person makes a pledge and says, please apply all of my money to the electric bill. But what would happen if we turned off the electricity for one day? Well, if it's a Sunday, it would mean no lights, no air conditioning, no organ, no music, really, that you could hear. You couldn't hear me. Some of you might like that. It's not the magic, but it's part of the institution. And what about computers? You really need those things? Well, Nancy and Ann are living on the edge every week, wondering, is this computer going to make it? Helps us keep track of people, keep accurate financial figures, have email communication, do a website. They help us as an institution, but they're only valuable insofar as they help us share the magic of ministry. It's not the magic, but it's essential to the institution. What I want to say is really simple this morning. Your giving helps keep an institution thriving, and a thriving institution like our church keeps the magic of God's love thriving in the world. And the needs increase every year. Just like in your home. We have assets that wear out. I'm not talking about the senior pastor. Although I'm wondering. But when you use a church 7 days a week, things wear out. They need to be replaced. It's not exciting, but it's true. Medical insurance for our staff increases every year. It's not exciting, but we need to keep up with it. There's a strong desire to increase programming next year for children, for youth, for adult ministries, for outreach. We can't do it unless the institution is supported. And on November the 2nd, this first Sunday in November, we're going to honor our loved ones who passed away this last year. The institution of the church reached out to you and to them, and many of these funerals were right here. And all of you have someone in the church that you've had to say goodbye to. And next year, there'll be another list. We need this church. So what does that mean for you? Well, I'm going to ask you to really think about your giving. Some of you are doing all that you can. I appreciate that. My hope is that we might consider increasing our pledge. Maybe $5 a week. Maybe $10 a week. I don't want it to be because you heard the pastor say it's something that needs to happen because of the institution. I want it to happen because you prayed about it and you really feel like this is what God wants. So I'm not asking you to give. I'm asking you to pray about giving. Okay? Is that fair? I don't want you to give because of me. I want you to give because you feel like it's something that God wants you to do. I had a church member come to me one time when I was serving in Mount Airy, North Carolina. And we instituted the church council at that time. He said to me, "You've started this new thing, and I don't agree with it." And he said, "You know, I don't know what kind of thing this church council is, but we've never had one here before. And I've decided that because you have done this, that I'm going to stop giving to support the church." And then he said, "Do you know how much money I give?" And this may surprise you, but this is what I told him. "Nope. And I don't care." And we're not going to make the decision about whether or not we have a church council based on your giving. And as far as I'm concerned, if you don't want to give a penny to this church, it's fine with me. That's between you and God. He stormed out of my office because he didn't get his way. That happens a lot, you know? You think I'd learn. He never came back. Well, I have good news. That church thrived and has done exceedingly well. And in my 7 years there, we doubled. God didn't need his money. That's not how it works, folks. The institution needs the support of your resources so that we can bring the magic of God's love into the lives of people. And you give because God leads you to give. Everyone can make a pledge. We're not going to follow up and ask you, "You know, we looked at your pledge and you told us you were giving X amounts." That's not what it's about. But everyone can make a pledge. "This coming year, this is what I would like to give to the church." What that does is it provides for us a resource so that we can budget our resources accurately based on the giving of our people. Does that make sense to you? It's kind of like if your employer says, "I'm not going to tell you how much you're going to make this year. You just have to guess." How many of you would like that? It helps us to be good stewards of the resources that we have. That's why we're asking you to do this. So consider what your giving will be. And on November the 16th this year, I'm going to ask you to make a pledge. But I want to prepare you ahead of time. There'll be pledge cards in the bulletins that you can take home with you and pray over, and consider, what is it that I can give? This isn't the best of economic times, I realize that. One final thought. You know, you may be wondering why this odd reading from 1 Corinthians 16 today. It's a reading that names this person and that person in the church, and, well, it was people Paul knew and cared about, and I chose it because it illustrates to me exactly what I'm trying to say. There were institutional needs in the life of the church, like taking up an offering and getting nominations in place and finding people to serve as deacons and doing all the things that have to be done through the committees and organization. But there were also relationships, and there was a web of people, and that's where the magic is found. It's in the people. We support the institution, and I hope you'll rise to the challenge in the next 4 weeks. But it only matters if we can find one another, find Christ in one another. And that's where the magic's always found. So I'm warning you, November 16th, Pledge Sunday. Okay? And on that Sunday, I've got good news for you. I'm not going to talk about money. Not going to do it. You get one a year. Guess what? You didn't know it, but this was it. Don't we want to make a little magic? We need your help. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for each and every person in this church. Each one, for the gifts they have, for the difference they make, and for the way that you have been a part of their lives and my life. And God, how wonderful and blessed we are to have this place. We thank you, God, for all the ways that we show God's love to the world. And we thank you, Father, for all the ministries and for the staff that we have and for the light that we have today. Help us, God, to be better in our responsibilities and to realize that, God, through us, you will and are making a difference in the world. And so we give you thanks for what we know will happen already, for the work that will be done, for the lives that will be changed, for your magic in our lives. So we pray, Father, that you would continue to bless us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.